Well, good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service on this 13th day of July 2016. Greetings to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and praise God for hearing and answering our prayers according to His will. For without His answers to our prayers, without His presence and blessings in our lives, this living on this wicked earth would surely be a vain and worthless endeavor. But praise God that He didn't forsake us and leave us to ourselves, but He has come close to us through Jesus and has enabled us to have a better life, even an eternal one. And praise His holy name. So welcome, one and all. And it's good to see you once again. Our opening song to tonight's service is entitled, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever may betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be Thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm. And He is indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for making possible the plan of our salvation and sending Jesus down to become our shelter in the time of storm, our mighty rock, our refuge dear, that city of refuge that we desperately need in order to save our lives from the Avenger of Blood. Father, we ask that thy presence would be here in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. May we indeed receive a blessing from tonight's meeting as we go through chapter 4 of Colossians, and help us to see things that we may have never seen or understood before. Ingrain thy word into our memory, and let it be so established and fixed there that we cannot possibly forget it, that it will indeed be a guide and a comfort when we need it most. And thank you, Spirit, for bringing these words of life to our remembrance and indeed comforting us when we need it most. Father, I pray that you will continue to be with those who have requested prayer. Please hear and answer their petitions according to thy perfect will. And for those that are sick and battling a virus or a cold or other physical ailments, please be their great physician and bring healing relief to them soon, especially our dearest sister Michelle and Adele, as well as dear sister Susan. And thank you so much for doing so. We pray also that you'll bring healing relief to our dear sister Ida's wrist. Please strengthen it as well as her overall endurance to be able to handle the job requirements that she's in. Please continue to work upon Brother Vic's back and bring healing relief. Please also continue to work in Brother Matt and his parents' situation. And please let everything run smoothly and quickly, that life may get back to normal for them. And especially work upon Matt's parents' heart to receive the Lord Jesus in a greater way, and indeed be among those who will be saved at the end of time. And thank you so much for doing so. And Father, thank you that thy truth is indeed spreading around the world and lightening this dark place with your glory, with the light from the face of our Savior Jesus Christ. And thank you that many more people are escaping Babylon to enter into the kingdom of righteousness and eternal life in Christ. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for opening our understanding and leading and guiding us into all truth tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're continuing in Colossians. We're in verse 10 of chapter 4. And we left off last time with Paul dealing with the faithful workers that were connected with him and were his way of communication with all of the brethren and sisters in these Asian lands. And Paul mentions some of them by name, including Onesimus, and calls him a faithful and beloved brother who was from the Colossians themselves. And so Paul was not afraid to show affection towards his brothers and sisters in the faith. Of course, this was Christian affection and not anything improper. But he wasn't so formal as to neglect to mention that they were beloved. Because after all, they were part of his extended family in Christ, and thus were indeed beloved. And he wasn't afraid to let others know that. And so we shouldn't be afraid either. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 10. Aristarchus, My fellow prisoner saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision, or who were of the Jews. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. So here Paul was one of the greatest evangelists of Christ that was sent to the Gentiles to bring to them the good news of Jesus Christ. And yet, he lists off maybe 10 individuals' names. And he says that these are my fellow workers. But here was one of the greatest evangelists, and yet he had so few individuals connected with him. Why was that? Any ideas why Paul had so few that were working along with him?
Good evening, everyone. Could it be that his doctrine was so pure and he was like a lightning rod from the moment he, you know, was converted to Christ? In the sense that, you know, he just didn't hold back in any way and he was just so strong, and everything he said, he just was so strong, and so just enemies, you know, he was an easy mark maybe because he was so strong. It seems to me, I'm sure there's many other answers.
I think that's a good answer. The doctrine that Paul was preaching and stood for was very clear cut. There was no compromise with sin. There was no compromise with corruption. There was no compromise with false doctrine. So it was very clear and clean cut. And Paul even mentions that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword there in Hebrews. It cuts both ways. It not only cuts out sin, but it also cuts out false doctrine. So I think that's an excellent answer as to why there was so few workers along with him, because they knew that they were going to have to stand for the same truth. Now, we know that there was a lot more members of the home churches that Paul started throughout Asia, but there was just very few workers that connected themselves with Paul. So here we see that individuals were willing to embrace the truth, but they were not so willing, or maybe they were unable, to connect themselves with Paul's ministry and to travel with him and to be his messengers. And that's sort of the same way today. There's a lot of individuals that receive the truth and practice the truth and follow the truth in their own sphere or area, but out of every 1,000, there may only be one that hears the call of God to actually join in with the ministry of evangelism. Now, each and every believer in the truth is called to be a missionary for God, and you can be a missionary in your own home and community. You don't have to travel to some distant land before you can be a missionary for God. You can be one in your own home, among your own people. But there's very few that would be willing to join the ministry and be a traveling evangelist. And it's the same today. But I think another reason why there were so few workers is that there was persecution of the believers in Christ, starting from the Jews, and then it ended up being connected with the Roman authorities in persecuting the Christians. So a lot of individuals had to scatter from areas like Rome and Jerusalem because of the persecution against the followers of Christ. So while there was maybe 100,000 believers in Christ scattered throughout the known world at that point, there was probably only 100 or so traveling evangelists and probably 1,000 helpers along with these traveling evangelists because of the persecution. To go out and preach the Word of God in public was to actually announce a death sentence against yourself. It was to put a target on your back. And I think that's another reason why there were so few individuals willing to do that. To put all before the Lord, including their own life. But how else is the gospel going to be spread? Now, there's different gifts that the Spirit gives, different talents that he gives out and develops within God's followers. And not everyone is to be a traveling evangelist. But everyone is to be a witness for Christ. So it doesn't matter where you reside. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter how many people are connected with you. If you've accepted Christ, you are ordained by Him to take the gospel to all people around you. So here Paul names individuals that were connected with him in taking the gospel and delivering messages to the home churches for Paul. Some were Jews, some were Gentiles, but they were fellow workers with him in building up the kingdom of God. They had a common goal, and that was to bring precious souls out of the kingdom of Babylon and enlist them in the kingdom of righteousness. And that's our same goal today, dear ones. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Continuing, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. So here was another Colossian, or perhaps Gentile, that had been converted to Christ. And Epaphras was laboring fervently for the Colossians in prayers. These were intercessory prayers. And he was pleading with God fervently that every member of the Colossian, and probably all the members of Christ's church, would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And he did so with great zeal. And it wasn't just for the Colossians, but also for them in Laodicea and Hierapolis. And intercessory prayers move the hand of God. So if you want to see individuals in your own family or perhaps your own church family converted to God, dedicated to his service, more fervent in their walk with the Lord, then lift them up in intercession to God. And it will take place. God's hand will be moved to make it become a reality. So here Paul mentioned believers in Christ being fervent in prayer, intercessory prayers for others. Amen. Amen. Intercessory prayer is giving God permission to reach out to your loved one or loved ones when they seem not to know God. Amen. Verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now, this Luke is the one who wrote the gospel there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So, at some point, Luke was there with Paul, but he wasn't always with Paul. But at this particular point, he was. Verse 15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. So when individuals come to you and say that you have to go to the temple or the synagogue or the established denominational church in order to worship God, you can pull up Colossians 4:15 and say that the disciples, the converts of Paul, were not meeting in any synagogue or temple or established church. They were worshiping in their homes. A home church. So you can see here that the early Christians began the home church movement. They were not worshiping in the synagogues. They were not worshiping in the temples, although at times they did go there. They were worshiping in their homes. And the home church movement in this generation today is very great. It's scattered all over the world. And it is being persecuted and shut down because the powers that be cannot control every single home in the entire world. They can control the temples. They can control the denominational churches. They can control the synagogues, the cathedrals, but they can't control every single house. And so the home church movement scares them. And we're seeing persecution taking place all around the world. Pastors of home churches are being arrested in China. We hear about the Russian government now has passed a law forbidding home churches. And that you have to go to a state-approved church before you can witness for Christ. So that same spirit of persecution that Paul and the apostles felt and continued on for hundreds of years under Catholicism is coming back alive. In some places, it never left. but we're seeing it spread across the world, all because there's a lack of control in the doctrines being shared in the homes. One of the laws that was passed by the French National Assembly there during the French Revolution was that you had to list on a placard out in the front of your house how many family members were living there. So if you had a family of four, two kids and mother and father, you had to put the number four on a placard out to where it could be seen from the street. And if the authorities came by and saw that you had more than four in the house at any one time, you had broken the law and would be meted out various punishments, fines, and maybe even jail sentences for having more than that in your home. The reason they did that was to control the dissemination of information. They wanted the people to believe everything that was taught to them or told them from their leaders. They didn't want any other dissemination of information than what they approved the people to hear. Now, the Protestants were spreading the word of God. And they were one of the first to be persecuted and eliminated during the French Revolution. So we're seeing the same type of the control of the dissemination of information taking place around the world. And it's only going to get more restrictive. So what we can do now to spread the truth will be so much easier to accomplish than it will be in the near future. We can do so now without jeopardizing our lives, but in the near future, to spread the same amount of truth may cost us our lives. So Paul says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, in Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Continuing. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So Paul here was communicating with the churches through letters. That was the way to do things back in those days. Because Paul could not be everywhere at once. And so he sent letters, and he expected to get letters back. So he wrote an epistle to the Colossians, and he says, read this epistle when you come to the church of the Laodiceans, and then get the epistle I wrote to the Laodiceans and read it in the church of Colossians. So Paul's messages were instruction in righteousness, were principles of the gospel that would benefit all of the believers. And praise God, we have most all of his letters, all of his epistles there in the New Testament. We don't have the one he wrote to Laodicea, but I imagine it had the very same principles that you can see outlined in the other epistles that we do have access to. Verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. So here, Paul was in prison when he wrote this. And dear ones, we may find ourselves in prison as well for sharing the word of God that is forbidden by the powers that be because they want to control the populace. So may God help us to stand for Him regardless of the cost. And praise God for taking our efforts at spreading the gospel and multiplying it so that it reaches so much farther than is humanly possible. God will indeed lighten this world with His glory, and He's waiting for you and me to do what we can to accomplish that by living His truth and spreading it to others. And He will make our efforts accomplish great things in righteousness. Just one person spreading the gospel can reach another person who can reach 10 more, and those 10 can reach 10 more, and those 10 can reach 10 more each. And pretty soon, all of America is lightened with God's glory, and it spreads from America around the world. One person in Africa can spread the message to another. That person can reach 10. Those 10 can reach 10 more each. And pretty soon all of Africa is ablaze. Amen. Comment in the room says, Sister White saw little points of light here and there, and they began to spread until the whole area was ablaze with light. Amen. It's also just like the two loaves and fishes. In Christ's hand, they multiplied to such an extent that 4,000 people were filled to the full, and there was still left some over. Amen.
I was thinking about Paul writing down his thoughts to the people. And sometimes if you can't sleep at night and you write down what you're thinking and your blessings, you read them at another time, you might come across them, and it even recharges your own life. I think God can speak to us over and over and over again when we write our thoughts down.
Amen. Amen. And it makes it a lot harder to forget. I know in my studies, I can be reading on a particular theme, and then a thought will cross my mind that is on a different subject. And if I don't write it down, then that thought disappears, and I may not remember it for 3 weeks or maybe 3 months. And you know, if God is merciful, the thought will come back. But if I write it down, it's on paper. As long as I don't lose that paper, then I'll be able to refresh that thought and be able to explore that area in another study time. So, amen.
It's like a little seed that's dropped in fertile soil. Because at that time you may not have the time to expand on that thought, but when you run across it at a different time, God has more ammunition, so to speak, to put in your mind.
Amen. Amen. And those little points of light that Sister White saw here and there, those represent you and me. They represent God's followers. And as we share the truth that we know, others will accept the truth, and they then become a point of light. And they in turn share with others, and pretty soon, instead of one light being in an area and the rest darkness, you now have 50 lights in an area and less darkness. And so it just continues to spread until the whole world is ablaze with light. So, dear ones, each one of us are a point of light in our community, in our home. Let us allow our light to shine and illuminate the face of our Savior before our family members, our friends, our neighbors, our communities, and thus help fill this dark world with God's glory. Amen. Let us start a wildfire of truth that cannot be stopped.
I have a question. Is there going to be, you know, it seems like in Revelation there's groups that are, large groups that are coming to faith, and then, you know, another group, or it seems like all of a sudden there's martyrs, or you know, is the prophecy that there will be a large outpouring? Is the prophecy that there will be a latter rain poured upon God's remnant people, which will bear great fruit of souls, and these may be martyred, and some of those, you know, sharing, but is that, can we anticipate that? Is that something that's in prophecy?
Yes. Revelation 18 talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out from heaven, and the whole earth is lightened with his glory. The truth has spread far and wide until the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. And Babylon has fallen, and you have the persecution of individuals. The three angels, the loud cry in Revelation 18 combines with the third angel in Revelation 14. And you have the patience of the saints. You have those that are standing firm for God, and then you have the persecution taking place. So, I mean, you can see there in Revelation 13 and Revelation 14, you can see what happens when the messages are given and when the powers that don't like the messages rise up against it and a persecution takes place. You have individuals choosing to follow the truth or to follow the beast. You have individuals choosing to bow to the image of the beast, which is apostate Protestantism following in the corrupted ways of Catholicism and bringing persecution and religious restriction upon people who do not go along with their decrees. So we know that we're in the time in which the Holy Spirit is being poured out, and we know that it swells from a small point into a larger point. And we're in the time of its swelling, and it will continue to increase and spread farther and wider until the whole earth is filled with the loud cry message of Christ's righteousness and separation from Babylon to Christ. So that's where we are right now. We're in the outpouring of the latter rain, the Holy Spirit, and the swelling of the loud cry that will eventually fill this entire world with the present truth. And then people will have to make a decision whether to follow the Lord and separate from Babylon and from sin and from false doctrine, or to separate from Jesus Christ and the truth and cling to Babylon and false doctrine. It's where we are right now. Yeah, and it is exciting, but it's also scary. It's a time in which we need to spend more on our knees pleading with God to save us from ourselves and to give us the extra power and grace to live the truth and to stand for the truth regardless of who stands with us or how many are against us. Because some of us may be tested as if there was not another person that believed the same way we do in this whole world. Would you be able to stand if all your family members gave up the truth and tried to convince you that you were wrong? Would you still be willing to stand if everyone that you knew was following the truth gave it up? Would you still follow it? Would you still follow it if it appeared that you were the only person on the earth that believed that way? That's the point we have to come to. Our relationship with Christ has to be so immovable that it doesn't matter if we're the only one on the entire world that believed the way we do. We will not give him up. We have to be so settled into the truth that we cannot be moved, irregardless of what we see, irregardless of how we feel, irregardless of what we're being told. We have to remain fixed on the truth as it is in Christ. That's why it's a personal relationship with Christ that gets us through to eternal life, that helps us to endure and to hold fast. It can't be a faith based on anything else. It has to be a faith based on Christ from your own personal knowledge and experience. So praise God that we're able to come together and worship one with another. But there's coming a time in which we may not have this privilege. We may be all alone. And if we haven't developed a relationship with Christ that keeps us steadfastly fixed to Him, then we're likely to give Him up in order to have fellowship with others and compromise our faith in order to do so. So may God help us to indeed develop our relationship with Christ to the point that whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Whether we're together with others or all alone, we are the Lord's. And may God help us to do it sooner rather than later.
Well, I'd just like to share how the Lord is teaching me and helping me to have a peaceful habitation in my heart. In other words, with Him in my heart and going through trials like you're speaking about. I mean, I know it's only going to get worse. But being alone here, you're always going through these things where your peace, my peace can get ruffled. Something happens or somebody, because you're being so watched and something, maybe you didn't sin in any way, but maybe just a little oversight of something and you know, they expect such perfection, perfection of Christ. And, you know, you can't always, every moment, well, you can, but sometimes maybe just not really like this in a sin, but just little things. And something like that happened, you know, today. And so learning to not let these things where maybe you're not understood, or someone, maybe something, these things you see and perceive that happen, to not let that or anything, you know, with someone you love very much, to move you from your peace. And that's where I'm really praying to the Lord for great peace amidst, you know, just everything, little things, big things, that I can't look or depend upon anything. It's amazing how the emotions can come into play with those who are really in that heart, and how we have to bring them out of the space in the heart that Christ has to reign. I mean, they can obviously be in the heart, but ruled by Christ. So that's something that I'm really pursuing just of late, because the Lord's brought it and set it in my lap and showing it to me that my peace can never be moved. I cannot ever allow myself, because that's fainting. If my peace is moved, then I'm fainting. And I can't faint. We can't faint. So anyway, I just praise God for bringing to light my own heart, which I've been asking him to do, to show me where I need to be shored up, to show me the little breaches in my wall that need to be, you know, made secure by him.
Amen. Amen. And what you were talking about there brought a scripture song to mind. Psalms 119:165. Let me sing it for you. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalms 119:165, and nothing shall offend them. I praise God for scripture songs, because it makes it so much easier to remember them. And it definitely helps to sing a scripture song when you find yourselves under temptation and trial. And there is indeed power in the Word. That power is the grace of God coming to you and helping you to endure. Amen. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for reaching out to each and every one of us and knowing who we are and what we need. Because many times we don't know. We spin our wheels and try to be happy, and it just doesn't come sometimes. But we know that you're always there. And you are a constant friend, and that you never change. And thank you for giving us a voice, for giving us music, for giving us songs. Thank you for your word, and especially your law, which protects us. Thank you also for the many voices that speak for you. Our internet meetings here are wonderful. Praise God for that. And give us the strength to live day by day, knowing that you never leave our sides. Forgive us when we have erred and have forgotten, because we get blown away by today's cares and problems of others. But there is always that quiet time when we know you're there with us, and praise God for that. Continue to be with us the rest of this day and tomorrow. We look forward to walking with you again. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being interested in each one of our lives and for giving us the grace and the strength to endure and to hold fast. Thank you also for chastising us in measure when we have not followed the right path and done the right thing to please you. Thank you, Spirit, for indeed pricking us and showing us how we can do better next time. And Father, I pray that you'll indeed pour thy Spirit upon us in rich abundance. Please help us not to be passed by the latter rain, but indeed to receive more and more of it, that we may be able to become so settled into the truth, so fixed and firm, planted on the rock Christ Jesus, anchored to him, that there will be nothing, no wind, no storm, no persecution, no successful trial or tribulation that can separate us from the Savior, but that we will indeed hold fast and endure unto the end, regardless of the cost. And thank you, Father, for continuing to work with each one of us individually to develop this steadfast relationship with our Lord. Thank you that we're a day closer to the coming of our Savior, a day closer to seeing him in the clouds of heaven, never more to be parted. Please help us to get ready and prepared for that time. And thank you so very much for helping us in this. Be with our brothers and sisters in Christ that are enduring persecution for their faith. Please, Father, I pray that you will intercede in their lives and give them a special outpouring of thy Spirit that they may be able to confess Christ to the end and thus be able to witness for the Savior to all of those who know or witness their plight. Help them not to sacrifice the Lord for peace and safety and security, but help them to be willing to jeopardize their lives in order that Christ may be uplifted. And Father, help us to do so now in our lives, to be faithful in the little things, that when we reach that great thing, we will know how to do the same. For we've been faithful in the little things that have prepared us to continue to be faithful in the big things. Thank you so much for helping us. Thank you so much that we're a day closer to heaven. And thank you for hearing and answering our prayers, for bringing physical, mental, and spiritual healing to those who need it most. Thank you that we can come to you in every time of need. And thank you for not turning us away empty, but indeed answering our prayers. Please be with us now as we part. Grant us a good and restful night's sleep and bring us back together again soon in fellowship. And until then, continue to work in our lives. And thank you for allowing us to work with you in seeking to save the lost. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions, any songs or requests before we close tonight's service? Please go right ahead. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. Keep moving forward. Keep advancing up that straight and narrow path. Our love and prayers are with you all, and thank you so much for the same for me and mine. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you on Friday evening, just 2 days from now. So until then, may God keep you in His strong, loving, and compassionate arms. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. Praise God for that.